Just thought that was a neat praise report. This evening, we're going to have a special speaker, not from out of town, but he's from here in our fellowship. And Boone and some of these younger guys, I've been getting them up here to teach. And they lead some of the ministries and men's ministries and kinships and things like that that we have. And so Boone's going to come up and share this evening. And so he told me, I asked him what he was going to be teaching on today. And he said he was going to be teaching on the sin of pride. And I said, well, obviously, I don't need to be at church tonight then. And so anyway, but then he told me I did. So here I am. Okay. All right. Welcome, Boone.
Sit on. Thanks, Joe. Good evening, everybody. Before I get into my talk tonight, I just want to mention that this Wednesday night on our men's study, we'll be having a potluck, and we'll be having cornhole games. So it's going to be a time of fellowship, maybe a real short teaching, but that's what we're going to be doing. And I just want to give a mention about our Friday nights kinship and couple study. It's still going on. We've been doing it for over a year now, and boy, what a blessing it's been. So I encourage any of you all that are married couples to come to that. So let's pray. Father, we are so thankful that we are able to come here tonight and worship you and learn your word. Lord, we ask that our hearts be humbled to hear your word and to be filled with the Spirit. Lord, I ask for wisdom and understanding as I teach tonight. Father, we are thankful for the country we live in and all the blessings we have here. Lord, we ask for a special blessing for the people of Ukraine during this time of war, for their safety, and for the wisdom of their leaders. In Jesus' name, amen. Once again, good evening. Nice to see everybody. There's an old saying that I used to hear a lot when I was a kid, and it goes something like this: I'm as nervous as a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. Boy, that applies tonight. Tonight's the first time I've ever done anything like this, so please have patience with me. If I pass out or shake myself to death, don't panic. You guys are dismissed. It'll be the shortest Thursday night teaching you've ever attended. And one more thing, if you see Pastor Joe doing this over there standing up, it's not because he's full of the Spirit. He's telling me, land the plane. For the sake of the people, land the plane. So I'll be watching, Joe. All joking aside, I'm extremely humbled to be here tonight. And I know I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I'm going to stand on that. I would like to thank some people who have helped make this possible for me to be up here tonight. First and foremost, our Savior Jesus Christ, who saved me from myself and has given me the ability to teach tonight. All glory to God. I'd like to thank Pastor Joe, Pastor Mike, for giving me this opportunity to teach tonight. I'd also like to thank them for their wise counsel and encouragement they've given me over the last couple years. But most importantly, I want to thank them for their friendship and for helping me with my walk with the Lord. Thanks, guys. Thank you, Adon and Michelle, and family, for their friendship, love, and for holding each other accountable. Love you guys. I'd like to give a shout out to all the friendships in the Friday night couple study and Wednesday night's men's study. The friendships we have made there have been a huge blessing for Kristen and I. We love you guys. You mean a lot. Now I'm probably going to get all blubbered up and tear up here, so you guys are just going to have to put up with it. But at last and not least, I want to thank my beautiful bride, 29 years. Thank you for never giving up on me. I love you. To my parents and my kids, Kinsey and Chase, Ethan and Taylor, thanks for always having my back and the unconditional love. It means a lot. So I'm sure everybody's heard the saying, you need to swallow your pride. So pride is what we're going to be talking about tonight. The Holman Bible Dictionary defines pride as undue confidence in an attention to one's own skills, accomplishments, state, possession, or position. Pride is easier to recognize in others than in oneself. Well, that's a mouthful. It's the opposite of humility, which is the proper attitude one should have in a relationship with God. Some have considered pride to be the root and essence of sin. Others consider it to be sin in its final form. In either case, it's a grievous sin. On Sunday morning, Pastor Joe read a scripture in Isaiah 14, and I said to myself, man, that's perfect for what I'm teaching on this Thursday. Thanks, Joe. In Isaiah 14, 12 through 15, Isaiah 14, 12 through 15, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, who you weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of congregation of the furthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. In John Corson's commentary, he has this to say about this. In this we see Satan's power aborted, his ultimate destiny being hell, and his pride the reason for his rebellion. Now we know why pride is such a problem in this world. It's one of Satan's favorite tools to use against us. And he's got a whole bag full of it just waiting for us. Another form of pride is boasting. Look at me and what I did. Now the dictionary said it can only be committed in the presence of others. Not sure that I agree with that completely. Follow me here. We're going to start with the guys. Be honest. I know, show of hands here. How many guys get out of the shower and you're shaving or doing whatever you do and you look in that mirror and go, maybe turn sideways, suck it in a little. I still got it. Yeah, I still got it. I think that's a form of that. And for you ladies, not letting you off the hook either, how many of you sitting there getting your hair done, putting your war paint on, going, looking, girlfriend, you still got it. So not sure that I agree that that sin can only be permitted in the presence of others. A good example of some of these sins is in Genesis 11 in the Tower of Babel. Genesis 11, 4. And they say, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the earth. Let us make a name for ourselves. Doesn't that sound like the world today? They made a name for themselves, all right. Not sure it's one you'd want to have. Another form of pride is haughtiness or arrogance. Measure self as above others. It's an attitude of one's heart. In 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5, 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5, is Paul talking. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. Once again, sound like America? And James 4, 6 says, But he gives more grace, therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. It's called pride, boasting, haughtiness, or arrogance. It's all sin. How many of you know somebody that's a legend in their own mind? If you don't know how great they are, all you have to do is just ask them. They'll tell you. Some of these people are Pittsburgh Steelers fans. Sorry, Joe. I was paid off by a Dallas Cowboy fan to tell you that, so I'll say anything for 20 bucks. Pride is always about oneself. I'm going to do what I want to do, and the heck with everybody else. You can start being so self-absorbed that you can't be wrong about anything. Everybody around you is an idiot. A proud person does not think it's necessary to ask for forgiveness because they can't admit they've done anything wrong. Pride is a rebellion against God because it attributes oneself the honor and glory due God. In today's world, most of social media is all about me and what I'm doing. It's the look at me syndrome is what I call it. Look at what I'm doing. Look at what I bought. Look at how much money I have. Look at how beautiful I am. Look at all my selfies. It's always look, look, look. I. Me. It's really sad. Really sad to see. There's rarely any mention of Jesus. We don't see many social media sentences starting with, by the grace of God, by the mercy of God, all glory to God, through Jesus' love, God bless me with. It's absence. People are always armchair quarterbacking everything too. You notice that? How many times have you heard people say, that was stupid or dumb? I would have done it this way. Not knowing one fact about the situation or the circumstance that they're commenting on. They just think they're smarter than everybody else. Shouldn't surprise us. In fact, we've almost come to expect it. As Christians in the church, we should know better and be better. But it's not always the case. I think pride is one of the most destructive sins going on inside the church today. people just cannot be wrong. They can't let go of their pride. Here are a few examples you might hear in different churches today. This is the way we've always done it. No new ideas here. Nope. New ideas out the door. The way we've always done it. In my old church, this was the way we always did it. You need to do that here for me. I don't like this type of worship music. You need to change it for me. I think we need to do this or we need to do that in church. Hey, man, that's a great idea. You want to get that started? Oh, no. I'm just a great thinker of ideas, not a doer of ideas. That's somebody else's job. Let's just talk about grace and love, not sin, accountability, consequence, and definitely not hell and Satan. Mm-mm. It makes me feel uncomfortable to hear those things. As Christians, and being a part of the body of Christ, can we just agree on one thing? It is not about you. And it is not about me. It's not about how right we think we are. It's not about how smart and educated we think we are. It's not about how much power and position and money you have. It's not about all the great things we think we've accomplished. It's not about the accolades we think we deserve. And it's definitely not about our comfort. Our walk with the Lord and serving Him is not dependent on our comfort. Our jobs as Christians is to serve the Lord without complaint. Philippians 2:14, do everything without complaining and disputing. I think that should be on every church door in the country. Friends, our focus should be on standing on God's words, preparing ourselves so that we are equipped to go out into the world and spread the good news of Jesus. To the lost world, let's shine our lights into the darkness. One of my favorite parables in the Bible about pride is in Luke 18. Luke 18, 9 through 14. Also, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they are righteous and despise others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, idolaters, or even as a tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes to all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. And he who humbles himself will be exalted. That sounds like the fix for pride to me. We know that through Jesus Christ is the only way that we will be able to humble ourselves. We will never be able to do it through our own power. Jesus was lied about, slandered, stripped, beaten unrecognizable, a crown of thorns pushed in his head, mocked, spat on, then nailed to a cross. And it was never about him. He did it all for us. He bled and died on that cross for all of our sins. And all he asks in return is for us to humble ourselves before him, believe in him with all of our hearts, surrender our lives to him, worship him. John 3:16, we all know that one. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the promise we can stand on. It's so simple, but it's not easy. The world and Satan are always out there looking to trip us up. Satan is always getting in our heads. Satan loves to tell us that we are the most important thing out there. Pretty soon, we start taking that armor of God off piece by piece. Jesus gets a little less important day by day. And pretty soon, we're right back to it being all about us again. That's why it's so important to keep our armor on, like it says in Ephesians 6:11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Most of you here that don't know me well probably don't know my story and how I came to Christ. Pastor Joe has asked me to share my testimony, and one of these days I will. I will just touch on it tonight, because it's relevant for what we're talking about tonight. I was a drunk, and not all that long ago. It's a long story how I got there, but the main thing I want to talk about is when I was drinking, I was a mean drunk. I was one of those drunks that had a sharp tongue. And I would slice anyone and everyone around me to pieces with it. I was a closet drunk. I would lie to anyone and everyone about my drinking. I was a real scumbag. During my drinking days, nobody was going to tell me what to do or how to do it. I was captain of my ship. Little did I know it was the Titanic. I was my own man, and I didn't need anybody or anything but myself. And I almost lost everything. My marriage, my family, my friends, my faith. It was a horrible time for my family. And I was responsible for it. As I look back at those times, a lot of it I wish I could forget. I realized that at the root of the problems, and there was a lot of them, was my pride. I had allowed my pride to override everything in my life. Everything revolved around me. The only thing that mattered was what I needed, and if I got my way, I would go around you or through you, but you were not going to stop me. I was so puffed up, I couldn't see anyone around me, although everyone thought everyone was out to get me. At the very end, right before I surrendered, I was in a very, very dark spot. I had got so bad, I didn't know how to get out of the hole that me and my pride had dug. But when I finally surrendered to Jesus, I looked up and reached up, and he gathered me up. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The reason I told you that story is for us to realize how dangerous pride can be. My pride crept in over the years. It's not that I just woke up and became a self-absorbed pig overnight. As my friend Don likes to say, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Little by little, it came in, and then it consumed me. Don't get me wrong. Think that I'm saying I still don't struggle with pride anymore, because I do. I'm a lot more humble than I used to be with Christ in my life, but that sin is still there. And I pray about it all the time. I ask the Lord to keep me humble. I ask the question, is there pride in whatever form it is? Is it hurting any of your relationships? Your marriage? Your job? Your family, your friends, your relationship with the Lord. We need to repent and come to Jesus with our pride. Lay it at his feet. Jesus came to purify and cleanse, not to destroy. He comes to save us from our sin. He comes to free us from the vices that we have held our lives. Just remember, we are all work in progress, not perfect, but moving forward. The reality is, many times he needs to empty us of ourselves before he can use us. One way that has helped me get better with my sin of pride, not be so selfish, is to serve others. When you're serving others, you are in turn serving God. By serving others, it takes the focus off of you, stops being all about you. I hear people all the time saying, I want to help people, but I just don't know where to start. Well, it starts by you stop talking about it and do something. That's where it starts. It starts at home, serving the family that lives with you. Serving others doesn't have to be a huge thing. It can be little things. Taking a meal to somebody who needs it. A kind, encouraging word or a text to a friend or family member that's hurting. Helping a neighbor out with a project. Getting involved in a community project, helping people. Get plugged into a church. The church is always looking for people to help. There are several ways to help and serve in the church. And I know that we all have different talents, physical abilities, educations, health issues. And some can serve in more ways than others. But all of us can serve in one capacity or the other. Church, it's time to stop making excuses and start serving somebody beside yourself. Like I said before, serving doesn't have to be through the church. There are a lot of people in need all over the world. And I don't remember if I read this or I just heard this, but it made an impression on me and convicted me. Ask yourself this question. If everybody in church served like me, what would it look like? That's a good question for us to ask ourselves. In Romans 12:10-11, Paul says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fever in the spirit, serving the Lord. Another way to combat pride is to surround ourselves with godly brothers and sisters who will hold us accountable for our actions. I helped teach a Wednesday night's men's study, and the theme of that study is for us to have foxholes full of godly men that will hold us accountable and be there when we need each other. 3 a.m. friends, on my way friends, not 6 p.m. friends, and I don't have time friends. And I think that principle applies to everybody, just not men. We need those friends in our lives that will get in our faces and tell us what we're doing, and or the way that we're acting is not godly. You need those people in your lives and not have to worry about whether we hurt each other's feelings or not. It's important to have those people. If we get our relationships with God right and surround ourselves with the right friends, this will allow us to be able to go out and serve and bless other people. Romans 12:16. Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion, but associate with the humble. It's a good word. If you struggle with pride, find some humble people to surround yourself with. I have a friend who sent me a story a couple weeks ago that I want to share with you. There's a story of a rookie lumberjack determined to take the record. He would chop down more trees than anyone else. He made it his goal to beat his company's record of 15 trees in one day. On his first day, he cut down 10 trees. But then on the second day, chopped down 9. No progress at all. Then on the third day, managed only 7. The next day, only 5 trees. Then 3. Got worse and worse. Finally, he went to an old timer. What am I doing wrong? I work every day swinging my axe from dusk till dawn. The old timer asked, young fellow, when was the last time you sharpened your axe? So the moral of the story is, how sharp are we keeping our axe? If we're going to cut out the sin in our lives, how are we going to do it with a dull axe? We are going to be working twice as hard than we need to. How do you keep an axe sharp? By studying the Word of God, by repenting, asking the Lord forgiveness for our sins, serving others, not ourselves. Being a prayer warrior. By surrounding ourselves with godly people. It's just to name a few. In our men's Bible study on Wednesday night, our motto comes from Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. The process of iron sharpening iron is messy. There are sparks flying. It's hot. It's loud. There's sweat. There's tears. But the end result's worth it. So you can keep your sword sharp, ready to do spiritual battle with our brothers and sisters in Christ. I will close with this. If you're sitting out there tonight and you have dug yourself a hole so deep and you don't know how to get out of there or how you got there or how you're going to get out, do what I did. Surrender. Let go of your pride. And look up. Reach up. And Jesus will gather you up. I'm not a very smart guy, and I don't pretend to be one. But I promise you, it's the most important and best decision you will ever make. It won't be easy, and it will not be without pain. But you will have more joy and peace than you've ever known. Trust me on that. I will read 1 John 1:9 again. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And remember this, church. It is not about you. It is not about me. And it's not about us. It's all about Christ our Savior and living in the presence of in His presence for eternity. That is what it's all about. Let's pray. Father, again, we are thankful to be here in Your presence, Lord. We ask that You would take what we heard tonight and apply it to our lives. Father, let us go and get rid of our pride and be humble servants of Your kingdom. Father, we ask for safe travels tonight for everybody on their way home. And a safe rest of the week. And we just thank You and praise You for everything that You do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, everybody.
Bell Choir for coming. That was a blessing. Thank you guys. It's really beautiful. Appreciate that. I know you guys put a lot of effort into it and you can tell it's really nice. So thank you for coming and thank you, Boone, for sharing. And thank you for sharing from your heart. I know it's not easy to talk about when we mess up, but we all do. And without the Lord, we're pretty hopeless, really. And so we all need Him. Amen. Love you guys. Have a blessed night. God bless.